I have the great joy and privilege of introducing our guest speaker for this morning. Our guest speaker is a familiar face to any old-time Lighthouse folks. Our guest speaker is Pastor Eric Lau from Zoe Community Church in Allen, Texas. He serves there as an elder. He helps out with administration and children's ministries, unless he hasn't updated his church's website recently. I don't know what else he does. But Eric was one of the handful of people that we sent out to Allen, Texas, to plant a church there about 9 years ago. And we invited Eric to come back this weekend to be one of our plenary speakers for our Exiles Conference yesterday that we held here at the church for our young people, our young students. He and his wife, Tricia, and their four kids are here visiting. We're so grateful to have them back in the Lighthouse family. Eric was a college student when he first started coming to Lighthouse, and he eventually became an intern, attended the master's seminary, and then became an associate pastor and was overseeing, at the time, what was called Pathlights. It was our young adult ministry, and it was a joy to see him grow in ministry and grow in grace and watch his family grow. And it was honestly with a lot of mixed feelings that we sent them out, that I watched them be sent out to plant the church, because Eric really was one of my closest friends and greatest partners in ministry. I spent so many hours with this guy doing so many things, some of them edifying, some of them not. But I was on the one hand so grateful that he would be able to bring his ministry gifts and the gospel to a very needy part of the nation, and at the same time to know that I was going to be missing out on being the minister alongside a friend for that season. And so it's a joy that we're able to invite him back to be able to minister God's word to us. It's been such a delight to see that the church has flourished and grown, and God has used you, Eric, and you, Tricia, and the rest of the Zoe family to be a great blessing to that city. So would you welcome Pastor Eric as he comes and brings God's word.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. It's exciting to say good morning. In Texas, we meet in the afternoons because we rent from another church. So we have spent 8 years conditioning ourselves to say good afternoon. So it's a little bit of a change to say good morning to you, but good morning to you, Lighthouse. I bring greetings from Zoe Community Church in Allen, Texas. It's crazy, and I don't want to like belabor the point. Dave already kind of gave a very gracious introduction, but I'm Eric Lau. I'm a pastor at Zoe. We've been there now for 9 years, coming on 9 years next month, which is crazy because it's about the exact same amount of time I was here at Lighthouse. So it's been a while. It is home now for us, but when it comes to church, Lighthouse will always be home. It's where we grew in our faith, where we grew as a family, where we got married, my wife and I. It's just a real privilege to be here with you all. How many of you, just real quick, were here in 2015? If you could raise your hand. Okay, so not too many people. It's a smaller group. Thank you for your service. Back in 2015, when we went out and we started the church, there was kind of a secret side mission that the elders sent me on. And what happened is they were asking me to kind of see, what if you could do church from like the ground up, right? Without all kind of the other things, kind of traditions and expectations upon you. If you could just do church from the Bible and reading it and wanting to do things according to your convictions, what would happen if you were able to do that? What could you do kind of freed from these constraints that we have here at Lighthouse? And so I did that for 9 years, and I come back with the report. What I learned from these past 9 years is that the elders at Lighthouse are smarter than us, are wiser than us, are more mature than us, and with 9 years of wisdom, I also see that they are aging better than any of us are aging in Texas. So thank you for having us here today. It's just a joke. We weren't sent on a side mission, just the mission of the gospel. But from Zoe Church in Texas, howdy, thanks for having me. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. I pray, Lord, that you would be honored in our hearts and in this church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. By way of introduction, let me ask you a question. Since I have been thinking about memories these past couple of days, what's your earliest memory of your parents? Just take a moment. What's the earliest memory you have of your parents? It could be good, it could be bad, it could be something in between. One of my earliest memories, I'm not sure if it's the earliest, but it's An early memory that I'm pretty sure is my own, not given to me by someone telling me a story, was my mom signed me up for Cub Scouts. So this is like pre-Boy Scouts. I was pretty young, probably like four, preschool age. And I remember we were going out to the Cub Scout leader's home, and we were driving through the neighborhood, and it was starting to get dark at night. And this was, you know, in a time when we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have MapQuest or anything. So I guess we didn't have like a Thomas guide, or maybe the address given to my mom was wrong. So we're driving around, and it was getting later and later and darker, and eventually we had knocked on a few doors, and we couldn't find the house, and eventually our mom just said, you know what, forget it. You're not going to be a Cub Scout anymore. And I remember that because that is the moment when God saved me from the Boy Scouts. He kept me from becoming one. That's my earliest, I don't know why it's so ingrained in my head, but what's your earliest memory of your parents? Those people who have such a huge influence on your life. The people who brought you into the world, who put you through various things, good or bad, who probably love you, who you probably love, but with whom you have your own special relationship with. See, I was preaching this weekend at the Exiles Conference. I was preaching to the youth here at the church, and I thought, well, what would be a good kind of segue from that into something for the whole church, something that really matters to all of us and is a way in which we as God's people should be different than the world. And what I kind of came back to was this idea of our relationship with our parents. So in order for us to examine that this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be in three verses this morning. As you turn there, I'll remind you that the book of Ephesians was written by Paul to the Christian church in Ephesus to explain how the church is the new humanity, that you have been saved, you've been brought into the family of God, you've been created by God to be a new people because of the gospel. The church, all of the various sinners that have been saved by God have been brought together, that this mystery that was at one time hidden has been revealed, and now in the church you are something new. And near the end of the book, we read in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, the following. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is the word of the Lord. It's a short passage today, but a big topic for all of us. How should you as Christians relate to your parents? Whatever your relationship has been like, how should you relate to your parents, and how should that be different than the world around us? That's what we're going to get into. Three parts to the sermon this morning regarding your relationship with your parents. First, the command. Second, the reason for the command. And third, the promise of the command. We'll start right away with point number one, the command. Let's look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, you can stop right there. This is a command that Paul gives about how to relate to parents. It's pretty simple. He says, obey your parents in the Lord. But when we read this command, we need to ask the question, who is it exactly for? Because he says in the very first word, children. Now, in the Bible, the term for children used here in Greek is a general word for children. What I mean by that is it's not necessarily a word for like baby or infant or even little kid. It's just the word for child as we would use it in our day and age. It could mean a kid, it could mean an adult, but it really specifically did refer to people who are living under the care and authority of their parents. That's really what it kind of gets at. So I say that to just let us know that there was no specific age when someone was no longer a child and they became an adult. It wasn't like 18 years old was necessarily the time. But there were certain markers from Scripture that let us know that someone is no longer a child. So one of those markers was if you started your own family. You left your father and mother and you were joined to your spouse. This is Genesis 1:27. You started your own family. That person wouldn't really be considered a child in the culture of that day. Another indicator is when you've reached an age where you're independent. So you're no longer kind of needing your parents to care for you in the same way, you would no longer be considered a child, even though the word is kind of general. So this command that we just read is for children, people who are under the authority, living somewhat under the authority of their parents. But what does the command say? What does the command mean? Well, it's simple. Obey your parents in the Lord. And to obey your parents means this, And you don't need to go to seminary to understand it. It means to do what they tell you to do. Colossians 3, Paul goes as far as to say, children, obey your parents in everything. Now, this is a very countercultural thing. This is a weird thing. This is not something that you would even expect to hear most of the time in church nowadays. It's not something that people like to think about or even do in our society, but this is what the Bible says. It's very clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Do what they tell you to do. I'm reminded of this old movie that most of you have probably seen here. I think judging by the kind of demographics of this movie, you've probably seen it. The Karate Kid. Anybody know The Karate Kid? Yes. In the movie, Daniel-san is this kid who moved from, I don't even know where he moved from, but he moved to California, Detroit, I think. And he's seeking to learn karate from Mr. Miyagi, this old Japanese guy who saved him from these bullies. And so he goes to Mr. Miyagi and he says, and I think you guys maybe know this story. He goes and says, teach me karate. I'll do whatever you say. And Mr. Miyagi doesn't want to at first, but eventually he agrees, right? He says, fine, you know what? I'll do it. He won't let me be, so I'm going to teach you karate. And then he kind of sits him down, and there's this scene. He says, I'm not going to do an accent because I don't want to offend anybody. But he says, let's form a sacred pact. Okay, he looks at Daniel, and he says, I promise teach karate, that my part. You promise learn. I say you do, no question, that your part. Deal? And Daniel says, yeah, sure, whatever. And then one of the most famous scenes in movie history, he makes him wash his cars, right? He makes him paint the fence, paint the house, wax on, wax off. You guys have seen the movie. Now, if we're honest, we read Ephesians 6, 1, 2, 3. And if we don't skip over, but we actually read it, it feels kind of like Mr. Miyagi. Feel like we're being told to, you know, just do what he says to do. No questions asked. This is the pact. I teach, your parents teach, you do. That's the deal. Just do what they say. That's your part if you are a kid. Unless they tell you to sin against the Lord and do what is wrong, obey them. It seems like this is just what the Bible is saying. It's so old school. It's so like closed-minded. And I would guess if you're a child in this room, even though you hear it, it feels very hard. Maybe it seems strange to you. Maybe it seems pointless. Maybe it seems unfair. And if that's how you feel, and we just stop there, if we don't look at what the text is actually getting at and the context of this chapter, we will miss a lot. Because Paul adds these three very important words. He says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. And when it says in the Lord, it doesn't just mean obey your parents if they are Christians. It doesn't just mean obey your parents if they are people who are living for God in some amazing way. What it actually means in this passage is obey your parents if you are a Christian because of the Lord. This is something that God actually wants you to do, that somehow it pleases him. So this command is for children, but specifically it is for Christian children. The book of Ephesians is not first a book about what you are supposed to do. It's not first a book about all the ways in which you meet God's standards and that makes you acceptable to him. No, it's about the gospel. It's about how we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and God brought us out of that, from darkness to light, that God saved us. He made us alive in Christ, that we have received all these spiritual blessings because of Jesus. It's what God did first, but the outpouring of that is what happens in the latter half of this book. So if you are a Christian, if you've believed the gospel, if you have been changed by faith, you have new life as a child, this is one of the ways in which you live that identity out. So even though most parents in the world would love for me to tell their kids to obey them, what this passage is teaching is for Christians. We are meant to be different from the world. And one of the ways that should look is that if you are a Christian, your relationship with your parents should look different than the rest of the world. And this applies to all of us, but right now in point one, I'm talking to children who happen to be in the room, the youth here. Christian families should be places where parents love and protect their kids and care for them and provide, but it should also equally be places where children honor and obey their parents in the Lord. It means that if you are a child, to obey your parents in the Lord should be a sign of something very uniquely Christian and transformed in your life. It's so important here that the Bible says that the application of the gospel to your life as a child is not just to say that you believe certain things, or even to give lip service to certain biblical truths. It has to do with what you do. I have four children, okay? Now you guys might think, oh, that's a lot of kids, but in Texas, it's like below average. So in our church, probably the average is like 4.2 or something like that, which is fun. You know, we have a lot of kids, we have a lot of crazy times, not enough childcare help. It's wild out there. But I have four kids, they're wonderful kids, they're strong, they're more heat resistant than the children you produce in California. And my kids, they're pretty sweet. Whenever it is Mother's Day or my wife's birthday, they will say, you know, hey, what should we get her? What should we do for her? They'll ask me, what does mom want for her birthday? They'll ask her, what do you want for your birthday? And you know what Trisha always says? She says, I don't want you to give me a gift or a note. I don't want any flowers this day. All I want is for you to listen to me, to stop fighting with one another, to do what I tell you to do. Amen from the mothers in the room. And when my wife says this, I believe she is giving the mother's translation of Jesus' words in John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Perhaps more accurately, Luke 6, 46, why do you call me mom and do not do what I tell you to do? Children, understand that not only is this what your parents want, this is what God wants from you. And it is a hard thing to accept and believe. If you are a Christian, if you've been baptized, if you've professed faith, if you believe that you are part of the family of God because of what God has done, then the outworking in your life should be that you obey your parent in everything in the Lord, submitting to them unless they ask you to sin. Children in this room, you should obey your parents. It is simple as that. There's more to it, but it is simple. Do as to the Lord, and he will be pleased. Youth who are in this room, you may think you are smarter, prettier, wiser, cooler, more loving than your parents. You may be right. Even so, you should obey them unless they lead you to sin against the Lord. If you are a Christian, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, you may be wondering, why didn't they invite Pastor Eric to the children's ministry so he could talk to them? Those are the sinners who need to hear this. But the reason why I'm preaching this today for the adults is that even if you are no longer a child, biblically speaking, this passage is for you. For while the command in verse 1 is to obey your parents in the Lord, and it's for children, the truth is the command flows from something else. This passage is short, but there's a lot in it. This passage flows from something bigger than just wax on, wax off. It means that the Christian family should be very different. It should be a very different kind of family than the non-Christian family down the street. In order to see that, we need to see the reason behind the command. Point number 2, the reason behind the command. Read verse 1 again, but now kind of going into verse 2. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. The reason for the command is that it is right. That is what Paul says. Incredibly simple words with a profound depth of meaning. Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. That is right. But the truth is, we live in a world where what is right is a very confusing thing to talk about. Well, what is right is continually under fire, where what is right doesn't mean a lot or doesn't mean the same thing to different people. And you guys know this if you've talked with enough people in your life. What is right is kind of seen as a construct, right? That the only thing we can agree on is that what I think is good is right and what I think is bad is wrong. But that's not how the Bible works. You have to know this. The Bible is, in a sense, an old school book. It's a book that tells us the truth. It will not let you read it and simply say that what is right and wrong is subjective. It depends on your truth on any given day or moment. The Bible says that what is right is objective. It comes from God himself. The Bible is clear that there is a standard of right and wrong, and that standard is the Lord. So what Paul is actually getting at here is that something that you may have not noticed before, but what he's saying then is that what is right has to do with God. Because you'll notice right after he says, it is right, he quotes in verse 2 from where? You guys know? The Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. The reason for his command, for children to obey their parents in the Lord, is in fact another command. Okay, do you guys see what's happening? The reason for this command is another command which was given to everyone regardless of age. The fifth commandment wasn't just for kids. It was for everyone. Honor your father and mother. It was, in fact, the fifth commandment which God wrote with his very finger on the tablets of the law. Honor thy father and mother came directly from the standard of right and wrong himself. And so this connection between the command for children to obey and the commandment for us to honor father and mother is absolutely critical for you to understand. God alone determines right and wrong. What corresponds with who he is always right. What is according to his word is always right. And that which doesn't correspond to him, that which disobeys the laws he has given, is always wrong. And so if God says honor your father and mother, it means that this is part of God's design for the world. It's the way he wants humans to live, even though we live in a world that is at odds with Christ. And there's more, okay? I think that on top of that, in these verses, Paul is actually acknowledging that parents are one of the primary ways God goes about helping people learn right and wrong in this world. I said that God wrote the fifth commandment. And this is true. God himself wrote the fifth commandment. You can read it in your Bibles. But did you ever notice where it comes in place of the commandments? Okay, so the Ten Commandments, you guys are familiar with them, I hope. The Ten Commandments, there was 10 of them, obviously. Though it's, you know, if you're into church history, a little confusing, but there are 10 commandments, and the first four commandments have to do with your relationship between you and God, okay? And so even though there's 10, it's not 5 and 5, okay? This is a little trivia if you go on Jeopardy one day. It's not 5 and 5, it's 4 and 6. The first four about how you are supposed to relate to God, and then the next 6 about how you relate to people. The horizontal commandments, we would say. And so the commandment to honor your father and mother was at the top of the second table. It was the first of all the commandments about how you relate to the people in your life. Honoring father and mother comes first among all the commandments God gave about how to live with other people to the Israelites. Honor your father and mother. This commandment held a place of priority in the law of God. Paul is telling us that faithful parents are supposed to be one of the primary ways that we learn how to live and act rightly in this world. That learning to listen to your parents and honor them is second only to listening to and honoring and obeying the Lord himself. It's not cleanliness that is second to godliness, but honoring your parents actually is. And I would imagine that for many people in this room, You never thought that way. The second to obeying and honoring and worshiping God is that I should have an honoring relationship with my parents. In other words, what the Bible is showing us, what Paul is getting at, what the Bible teaches as a whole is that if a child cannot obey the parents God has put in his life, he will struggle to obey every other authority, including God himself. If a child cannot obey and honor the parents God has put in his life, he will struggle to obey every other authority in this world, including God himself. There is incredible weight to the importance of Christian families then to parent well, and for us as Christians to value parents and parenthood. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 2. I'm going to be flipping around a little bit. Luke 2. We're going to be in verse 51. It's a long chapter. So Luke 2, verse 51 is where we will start. In this passage, we see that Jesus himself obeyed his parents. These verses at the end of the chapter show us that there are things that all children need as they grow and that parents are given the task of helping with. Read it with me. This is after Jesus was presented at the temple, was found by his parents in the temple. Then it says in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is an interesting passage in light of what we're talking about. Jesus, the Son of God himself, who of course never disobeyed his parents, he has growth that comes from submitting to his parents in some way. There's mental growth. There is physical growth. There is spiritual growth. There is social growth. And you could throw in emotional growth in there. But suffice it to say that in this passage, we see that God has designed parents to be a source of instruction and shepherding in this world, even in some mysterious way in the life of Jesus. It's incredible. Parents have been put in place by God for the good of their kids, to be honored and obeyed so that children might grow up in the ways that every child needs to grow up. And so for us to treat parenting as important is so key. It matters to God. It comes from him. So what am I trying to say? Like, kind of boil it down. To honor your father and mother, to have a relationship with them that respects them and cares for them and listens to them is not a second tier, nice if you can get it, kind of thing. It is absolutely vital to Christian discipleship. Not just when you're a child, but always. Now you might say, well, Pastor, we're not under the law, or we're not under the Mosaic law anymore. And you're right, we are not under the Mosaic law. But Paul is saying very clearly here that honoring father and mother is something that is part of God's law always. He's showing us that this always matters. It's the way that he's designed the world. Even though it was in the Old Testament law, it is for all of us as Christians, especially now, not just when you are a child, but always. So consider for a moment, by way of application, how you think about family. As parents who are in this room, maybe you don't see parenting as all that important. Now, that might not be all of you. I think that Lighthouse does a good job of caring about parenting. But there is kind of this underlying current in our culture that says all you have to do to be a successful parent is to keep your children alive. I've read multiple articles online that have been saying this. I don't know, maybe my algorithm is trying to get me to not care as much or something. But there's this kind of feeling in the world that all you have to do is keep your children alive and it doesn't really matter what you do. This is not true at all. Instructing children obeying and honoring parents is discipleship 101, according to Paul. If you want to be someone who impacts the world for Christ, you want to be a missionary, an evangelist, a teacher, someone who does great things for God, then teach your kids the gospel. Teach your kids to honor and obey you. It is of the first priority in being a faithful Christian. Who is going to teach your kids not to steal? It should be you. Who's going to teach your kid not to cheat? It should be you. Who's going to teach your kid not to hurt others? Or who's going to teach your kid not to be selfish? Who's going to teach your kid to be patient and self-controlled? Who's going to teach your kid to go to church? You know the answer. It should be you. Maybe it's obvious, but it doesn't look like that's what we see in the world today. I go to any random park in Texas and I will see kids sometimes just doing whatever, right? They'll be using hurtful language, hitting each other, bullying, taking what isn't theirs, doing all sort of things. And a lot of times the parents just aren't doing anything. And you wonder, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to be like, oh, you bad parents. I just wonder, like, what's going on? And maybe sometimes I even have talked to parents and they'll say, you know what? I'm off parent duty right now. I'm off mom duty right now. No, you're not. You're never off duty as a parent. You can have vacations. You can enjoy your life. But this is the duty God has given you. And it's kind of shocking, but I see that a lot of parents actually care more about how they raise their dogs than they care about how they raise their kids. Kids will be kids. They laugh it off. But this is your job as a Christian parent. How are you going to make disciples of the nations if your kids are being discipled by every other thing, every other person but you? So we need to parent our kids well, according to the instruction of God. But what about as a child? Maybe you need to consider how you think about your family in your role as a son or daughter. If we understand this correctly, we have to think about our own parents differently. I think maybe the truth is, if you're very, very honest, you're hardly concerned with your parents at all, beyond concerns for their health, right? You're just concerned about their health, disease, or something going on, but you're not really concerned about them. Truth be told, if you were to kind of have someone open up your mind and look inside, you see your parent as an inconvenience to be tolerated, a burden to be borne, or a problem to be avoided. And if that's you, we need to understand that this is absolutely not what God wants for Christians. Now, I speak to myself as much as anyone here because this is hard, but a Christian who does not respect and honor his or her parents is a Christian in sin. A Christian who dishonors his or her parent is not a spiritually mature Christian. A Christian who curses or mocks his parents has set himself against God. And this is something that we, like I said, rarely hear in the world and even in the church today. Our world has little to no desire to honor parents. It tells us that it doesn't really matter. Maybe it makes your life even a little bit worse. But the Bible says no. If we do honor our parents, if we live the way God tells us to live, there is good that will come from them. And that leads us to the final point this morning. From the reason to the for the command to the promise of the command. Read verses 2 and 3 with me. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. There's a promise that Paul gives for honoring father and mother, and that promise is blessing. Now in Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are located, the original version of the Ten Commandments does not say that it may go well with you. Okay, so the original version that God wrote does not say that it may go well with you. This is something that Moses added later on when he was recounting the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. So it is part of Scripture. It's just not part of the original kind of version, right? When Moses was explaining it, he told them, hey, do this so it may go well with you. But the idea was that in the Old Testament, God said that honoring of parents would lead to the blessing of the people of Israel in the land where God was bringing them. That was the land of Israel, right? The promised land. The promise was very specific. If you obeyed the commandments to honor father and mother, and then, of course, a lot of things would flow from that. But if you obeyed that commandment, you would keep the rest of the law better. And in so doing, God would preserve the people in Canaan according to the Mosaic covenant. Now, if you are a close Bible scholar and you're reading Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, there's a question that comes up. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. But you read the Ten Commandments and you know what you will see? It's the only commandment with a promise. There's no other commandment in the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it in Exodus or in Deuteronomy. So what's going on here? Why does Paul say it is the first commandment with a promise? It's because Paul isn't just talking about the Ten Commandments. He's basically telling us that all of the law given to Israel, honoring your father and mother, was that important. It was kind of the beginning of all the promises that God had given to his people if they would live close to him, worshiping him, putting away idols, living in holiness. It is that important. Now, I was a biology major in college, as was Dave Lee, which is why we're such good friends. You know, we love science. Just kidding. I was a biology major, not because I love science, but actually because I like learning about animals. Okay, and one of the things that you might learn about in biology, if you like this sort of stuff, is something that scientists call a keystone species. Have you guys heard this phrase before, keystone species? All right, I think the young people in this room have heard it probably more than the more seasoned ones. But a keystone species is basically an animal that has a disproportionately large effect on its natural environment, even though the species is relatively rare. You kind of understand? So it's something that there's not a lot of them, but they have a profound, like, kind of outsized influence on the environment. So the most classic example is wolves in Yellowstone Park. You guys may have heard of this. The wolves in Yellowstone Park, very small, only a few packs of wolves that lived there historically. And they were, you know, just seen as a nuisance for a long time by the local ranchers and the people who go to the park. And so there was even a policy at one time of trying to kill the wolves when you saw them because they didn't want to be disturbed by these dangerous animals, which you could understand if you're camping or whatever. So the wolves in Yellowstone were killed off in 1926. And then all of a sudden, things began to change, right? The population of elk began to rise drastically because they weren't being hunted. And then everything else started to go haywire, right? The vegetation diversity plummeted. All of this great diversity of habitat and species began to crater in Yellowstone. It was not even close to what it was before. It was a shell of its former glory. For the next 70 years, the park was in decline. It was not what it once was. I think what Paul is saying here is that honor thy father and mother is a keystone commandment. There's not a lot of times the Bible says this exact thing. But it is the first commandment with a promise. First in order, but also maybe first in priority, importance among the commandments of how God wanted the people to live and receive his blessing. I already said it was the first horizontal commandment that, if kept and obeyed, would lead to the flourishing of God's people in the land. Now, why is that? Because the kids, the children, they weren't expected to simply pick up a Torah and read the scroll. They were to listen to the parents who taught them God's covenant, who taught them God's law, who taught them what God had done in the history of Israel. It was the parents who raised them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord to walk in his ways. And so what Paul is saying is that the honor of parents was a sign of a healthy community, a sign of a healthy family and individual. And you know what? It still is the case for us today. 2 Timothy 4, Paul gave a charge to Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season because of the hard times that would come for the church. And you read that and you think, man, this is so true. There are so many ways in which hard times come for the church, the people of God. And one of the factors he listed as a mark of the last days, you guys may know this, was people would be disobedient to their parents. Now, we aren't in the land of Israel, okay? Obviously, there is no promise that we will live long in the land if we honor father and mother. There's no promise that if you guys honor your parents here, that the lease will be extended to 2040. You won't have to worry about that for another decade. But there still is a principle here Paul is getting at. This is for us. Get your relationship with your parents right before God, and your life will be better. I don't like to make a lot of promises and guarantees from the pulpit, but I believe this is one. If you get your relationship with your parents right before God, your life will get better. I don't know exactly how that will happen, but you can count on it. It will get better. You will have a better relationship with them, and you'll have a better relationship with God. This is a promise, not just for families, but for us all. And sometimes in church, I would hear the criticism, especially as a young adults pastor, that church was all about families, right? There wasn't much for single people. They didn't have much for singles. And you know, Lighthouse does a great job ministering to singles. Praise God for that. I think that is a demographic in the church that is sometimes overlooked. I understand that to be a single Christian is not always easy in California, but especially in Texas, right? In Texas, it's like, it's a rare thing. But it isn't the right perspective to say that everything is geared towards family and it's not for me, that talking about parenting and all that isn't relevant to singles. Because the truth is, if parents don't parent right, if our relationship with our parents suffers, all of us suffer as well. It's a keystone commandment in our society, in our families, even in our churches. On a micro scale, you're going to have kids who, you know, you go out there to eat snacks and they're like throwing stuff at you and running into you and making you trip. You're going to have youths who don't care about the law, about respect. You're going to have strife maybe with your own parents or your in-laws and authority in general. But on a bigger scale, on a macro scale, without understanding parenting rightly, we're going to have a society that has become more and more unmoored from the truth of God, objective right and wrong, sabotaged by our selfish postmodernism and rebellious nature and unwillingness to control ourselves. See, people need parents. The church need parents. The world needs parents too. Now, I'm not here to go on a rant about the state of family or society. I'm not trying to come across as a hater to those who maybe don't have the blessing of a healthy, a good parent-child relationship, as if they can't do right at all. Their lives are endlessly ruined. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm simply saying this in light of Ephesians 6. As Christians, we need to understand that having a good parent-child relationship is one of the most important ways you can impact your own life and impact the world for God. I'm sure a lot of you have concerns about the future. You have concerns about what's happening in the world. Even in light of what David prayed about in the events in our nation yesterday, you're kind of scared. You wonder, like, what can I even, you feel powerless. What can I do? Well, if you want to begin to make an impact, get to work studying this. Studying this so important keystone thing, that there's something about relationships between parents and children that has a profound, outsized impact on the world. That's on both ends. As someone who has kids, which many of you do, and as someone who has parents, which has applied to all of us at some point in some way. Now, you may be thinking, that's fine and good, right? I can accept most of what you're saying, but what about if my relationship with my parents was rough? What if it was hard? What if it wasn't the way it's supposed to be? Perhaps I greatly sinned against them in some way. Or perhaps more devastatingly, my parents greatly sinned against me. My siblings, our family, right? Issues of abuse and just great evil. What sort of blessings can I experience in this life from honoring parents like that? And the answer to that question, I think, is found in the gospel. It's found in the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the good news of how we as sinners can be saved. It also tells us that the things in this world, though they are evil and suffering, are passing away. It tells us how even in light of great suffering and evil, we can live for a future hope. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that everything will be hunky-dory in your relationship with your parents. But because of the gospel, us being forgiven, we can forgive our parents if they have sinned against us. We can turn in faith and repentance to Christ. We know that we all need faith and repentance. We know that all of us need salvation. So even if your parents have hurt you, you can in some way still honor them. Now, it may look very different from someone who didn't have to go through that pain. You may have to hold them accountable for their abuse or keep them from putting others at risk. It may not mean full trust or restoration. It probably will be painful. But the end result, spiritually speaking, of honoring the Lord by honoring your parents will be the same promise of blessing and the pleasure of God on your life. So even though it is a horizontal commandment, what we're aiming for is not horizontal results. What we're aiming for is the pleasure of God and the blessing that brings. When I think about the promise of honoring your father and mother, I can't help but think of Mr. Miyagi again. His lesson to Daniel, right? If you guys haven't seen the movie in a while, sand the floor, okay? Sanding the floor, and then wax on, wax off, and then paint the fence, right? Paint the fence, and then paint the house side to side. Somehow Daniel learns to do it with both hands really quickly. But he's painting the house side to side. And after 4 days in this movie, Daniel, he gets all mad, right? And he's just doing all this work in Mr. Miyagi's yard. And he says, you know, I'm sick of this, right? I'm quitting. Like, I didn't learn any karate. Like, I was supposed to be taught how to fight, and I didn't do anything. I'm just washing your cars and cleaning your house. And Mr. Miyagi just walks away from him. He says, you're learning a lot. He says, yeah, right, I'm learning a lot. That's a malarkey or whatever. He says, I didn't learn anything. And then he's about to walk off, and then Mr. Miyagi says, Daniel-san, like, come here. He turns around, he comes back, and he says, show me. Right? Show me what you did. You guys, if you haven't, I have to tell you because it's an old movie. You might not have seen it. Not because I love this movie, though I do, but I have to tell you. So he's like, show me. He's like, all right, stand up. He's like, show me. So he stands off. He's standing on the floor. He shows him wax on, wax off. He shows him paint the fence and paint the house. And then he's like, all right. He's standing there. And all of a sudden, Mr. Miyagi goes, ah, and then he punches him. And then what Daniel does is he blocks it. You guys know what I'm talking about? He blocks it with the wax on. He blocks it, and then he punches him again. He blocks it. He starts punching and kicking him, and Daniel just uses all these moves to block what happened. It's goofy, but it's memorable. All of the things that he's been doing, all of his obedience, it suddenly pays off, and he sees how his training in obedience enables him to defend himself and grow muscle memory that he needed for when it mattered. And I think that's how honoring your parents works. Even if they are not always worthy of your honor, even if they fail and are sinners and have hurt you, honoring your parents, it builds in us the spiritual muscle memory to submit to and obey and honor God. I said earlier that if a child cannot learn to obey his parents, he will struggle to obey every other authority God has put into his life as well, but the same is true of adults too. If a man and woman cannot honor their father and mother who they can see, how will they honor God whom they can't? But if a person learns to honor father and mother, as imperfect, as unfaithful as they may be, that Christian will be building the muscle memory of faith, of submission, of reverence that we need towards our Heavenly Father. And that's what yields fruit in your life. That's what yields immeasurable blessings, because while we humans have fathers who are evil, Jesus says that we have parents who are evil and they do evil things, they sin against us, our Heavenly Father is none of those things. He's perfect, right? Our Heavenly Father, in love and wisdom and in power, He gives us the good we need. He will never fail or let down those who trust and honor Him. So if we build this muscle memory, we will learn to trust in the one whom we can always trust in for our good and for His glory. So let us honor father and mother and experience the blessing of God's promise. With that being said, let me leave you with something a little bit different than I normally do. I think that Lighthouse is a large and diverse church, but many of you are in the same boat as me. We have aging parents. You guys know what I'm talking about. You're in the in-between, between celebrating all the new life that has happened in your peers, maybe with kids, beginning to sometimes celebrate ends of life. And in our church, we have that. We have a lot of births. We are starting to have funerals. There's kind of this in-between. So this is particularly for you, though I think it applies to all of us. So before we end here, I want to share a few ways to honor your father and mother, maybe starting even today. First, don't view your parents in terms of what they can do for you. Okay? Don't view your parents in terms of what they can do for you. Instead, in light of Ephesians, view your parents as people who you will seek to honor, who you will seek to give priority to in life in the Lord. This is hard, but don't view them as people who you think ought to serve you. And it's very easy. I see this all the time in my own church, in my own life. I'm equally guilty of it, but it's easy to see parents just in terms of the benefit they bring to us. So maybe I see my parents as a vacation or emergency fund. Maybe I see my parents as free babysitting or free rides for the kids. Maybe I see my parents as assistant cooks or cleaners or handymen now that we're in this stage of life. Those are all good things, and parents, they love to do that. But if you view your parents in terms of what they can do for you only, you are not honoring them. You're trying to extract blessings from them rather than receiving the blessings of God by honoring them in your life. The idea that you don't have much or you don't owe much to your parents because you didn't choose to be born to them is a lie of the world today. I read things like this sometimes. Sometimes I like to go on like Reddit and read what the people are saying. It's bad for my soul, but it's good for research. And this is something people say. It's not a joke. In full honesty, they say, I owe nothing to my parents. I didn't choose to be born by them. I didn't choose for them to have me. They owe everything to me. I owe nothing to them. This is straight from the mouth of Satan himself. It's one step removed from, I didn't choose to be created by God. He chose to create me. So this is about me, not him. View your parents with a priority given to how you can serve them, how you can make their life easier, how you can love them and honor them. It's different. Number two, respect the opinion of your parents and sincerely listen to their advice. Understand that the Lord desires for you to honor your father and mother, even and especially in their old age. And this includes listening to them. So I said that if you're not a child, you're not necessarily under the authority of your parents. That is true. But there should be a sense in which you try to do what they tell you to do, even when they are old. Proverbs 23:22 says this, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. I speak to many of us who are in the church in middle age, right? Our parents are approaching the later years of their life. And in many respects, if we're just honest, it's a time when we kind of begin to outpace our parents in some ways, right? We're more capable, more tech savvy, maybe more financially stable now, maybe more aware of things than them. All that notwithstanding, we must honor them by trying to listen to them. Being dismissive to your parents, ignoring them, these things do not please the Lord. Now, as I said, if you are an adult, you're not a child, I do not believe that you're called or commanded to obey your parents. You might not do what they say every time. You might even seldom do exactly what they say. But if your parents' words have no weight in your life, you need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself. Could it be it's because you're someone who does not want to honor them? You might not do what they say, but you should still honor them in that. Now, how do you do that, practically speaking? I think one of the ways that's very simple is that even when you don't do what your parents say, you disagree with them, and parents have a lot of opinions, right? You disagree with them. Even disagreeing, you still honor them. You try to listen as best you can, and you explain to them why you do or do not agree with what they're saying. You give them that respect and honor as they give you some of their opinions that maybe even are unsolicited. I remember when I was going to seminary, my parents, they told me, you know, why don't you go be a doctor first? Ben Winarko, I saw you in the house. They said, why don't you go be a doctor first? And I was like, man, my parents, they don't, what are they talking about? Right? It's because they don't have enough faith, right? They just don't have enough faith. They want me to go make money first before I go serve God. They don't understand things. And I just kind of dismissed it. And looking back now, I realized that there was actually wisdom in what my parents were saying. It wasn't that they didn't want me to serve God. They're some of my biggest supporters in ministry. But they had seen ministry. They had seen what it had done to certain people. They wanted to make sure that I was prepared for that, that I knew that it was a calling from God. It came from a heart that I didn't quite understand yet because I wasn't listening to them. Even when you can't do what they say, your tone should say you want to honor them. Number three, show your parents honor in how you treat them and talk about them. One of the many ways in our society that we don't honor parents is by how we actually treat them and talk about them. We don't think it's important to respect them. And this is something that can affect all of us at every age. When I was a young adult pastor here at Lighthouse, there was an interesting phenomenon that began to happen. I never realized this before because maybe I didn't have as much experience with it in my own life. But for many people, they were just the nicest people at church. Right? They loved, and we loved being together in a young adult group. They were really respectful to the pastors and stuff. But every once in a while, I would hear one of them on the phone, and they would be kind of like a different person. They're transformed, right? It was like Jekyll and Hyde. I was like, who is this person on the phone that they're talking to? And you know what I learned after a few years of ministering to young adults? It was always their parents. And it was kind of an eye-opener to me because I'm like, that's me too. That's the way that I often have treated my parents. This should not be the case for us as Christians. Leviticus 19:32. This is the Old Testament, but the principle applies. He says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The Bible says it's good for us to respect parents. The Bible even treats disrespect of old people as a sign of a failing society. And this is so important for us to realize. One of the things that we often see online, if you spend any time there on social media, is people love to make fun of those older than them. There is this trend to just like laugh about boomers, right? To say, man, these boomers are crazy. They're doing all these things to just kind of really mock them. These are not the sign of a witty mind. These are the signs of a failing society. And can I say just honestly, even though I am facing the same temptations at times, this is not from the Lord. We should honor the elderly, especially our parents. It displeases God for you to speak harshly to them, to mock them. You may not agree with them, but you should not yell at them, berate them, disregard them. Now, parents shouldn't do that with their children either. That's Ephesians 6:4. We didn't have time to do that. Next year, if they invite me back, maybe. But as Pastor Kim often used to say, someone else's sin never excuses my sin. So show your parents honor and respect. And again, I'm running out of time, but just real quickly, oftentimes I see this in our relationship with in-laws. I see people who have just a lot of discord in their life that would be not solved, but helped if they would treat their in-laws even with respect and honor, as the Bible says. Number four, make time for your parents. Real quickly, very simply, especially if you have a good relationship with your parents, it can be easy to kind of take them for granted. The Bible says it's good to honor them, and one of the ways we can do that is to make time for your parents, especially your parents in their old age. Just very practically, one way is you can call them, right? You can text them too, but they're a generation that likes to talk. And so call them, see them, walk with them. Now, if my godliness was measured by the number of minutes I spent on the phone with my mom, you guys would never allow me to preach up here. But I understand that this is something I need to grow into. Invite your parents into your life, but also be part of their life as well. Finally, one last practical thing, pray for your parents. Simple, you may never think this way. Pray for your parents, not just for your health, not just for their health, but for them. And it's kind of funny how it works, right? I would guess that if there were kind of a cosmic scale somewhere, which there isn't, of how much parents have prayed for their kids versus how much kids have prayed for their parents, it would be obviously lopsided, right? Parents are praying for their kids nonstop. I rarely have ever thought about praying for my parents in the church. Perhaps considering their needs might just make you a person who honors them more in your heart. See, brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not just a secret thing that happens inside of us. It is a truth that transforms us, and then it begins to play out in all of life, especially in our relationship with our parents. It matters to God. I started today by asking you what your earliest memory of your parents was. But let me switch gears and ask you one other question to end. What is your most recent memory of them? What have your latest interactions with them look like? As you think about that right now, how will Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 cause you to examine yourself and maybe begin to change? The things we've heard this afternoon are hard. This is a countercultural thing. We are exiles in this world. Obey your parents, listen to your parents, love them, esteem them, honor them. These are hard. It sounds like something from like Little House on the Prairie, right? It sounds like that's too Texas. But this is real biblical Christianity. I hope that you see that today. This is what God calls us as Christians to do for his glory and for our good. So let me encourage you today to be a church where this is true. To be families where parents are honored and children are loved and raised in the Lord. To be a church where maybe you have broken relationships with your family, but in the church you experience the love of God as spiritual fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters. May Lighthouse be a place where the commandments of Christ are kept, the promises of God are believed, the blessings of God are experienced through how you relate to your parents. Let's pray. Father God, I ask, Lord, for your grace to my dear friends and brothers and sisters here at Lighthouse. Thank you for the example that so many of them, even this room, have been of this to me and my family. Would you do this for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I invite you all to stand as we respond with a final song.